If you and your team want to cut down on busy work and get more choice and control over accounts payable, you need BILL. BILL Accounts Payable is your secret weapon for saving time on AP. And with a special offer at bill.com/podcast, you'll save money too. With BILL, streamline your entire AP process, including bill creation, approvals, and payments. You can pay with ACH, credit card, check, and international wire transfer. Plus, you can easily integrate with most accounting software. No wonder hundreds of thousands of businesses are already using BILL to manage their AP. Schedule a free demo now to see how BILL can automate your financial operations. And right now, get 15% off when you subscribe to BILL Accounts Payable. There's never been a better time to sign up. This special offer is available for a limited time only at bill.com/podcast. Terms apply. See bill.com/podcast for details.
What's that? Oh, okay. Well, you're looking to take apart a transmission. Well, I'm the guy that you should have come to ask for, and it makes sense that you have. Firstly, you make sure that the car's in the air. Okay, can't be on the ground. Now, after that, drain the transmission fluid out. Gotta get the gobbledygook out of there. And then detach any of the electrical connectors, sensors, and or linkages that are connected to the transmission. That's a very important. You gotta remove the drive shaft, okay? And the axles as well, get them out of there. Depending on the type of transmission, but honestly, just remove both nonetheless. Throw them out. You don't need those anymore. Unbolt the transmission from the M block supporting it with the transmission jack if necessary. Carefully lower the Adam, you're here?
Yeah.
Okay, just 1 minute. I'm explaining to this guy how to take apart a transmission, and then we're going to do a podcast. Is that okay with you?
Understood. Don't forget to sell him tires.
I understand. Then keep track of all the fasteners and components removed. You're going to want to keep track of those, okay? If you lose one of them, throw the car away. You don't need it. Do you need tires? He doesn't need tires, Adam.
Ah, shit.
Yeah, I know. Clean out the components thoroughly and expect for wear damage and signs of failure. If there's wear damage and or signs of failure, throw the car away. You don't do that. And then refill the transmission fluid. Boom, boom, boom. You're done. So. Hey, Adam.
Yeah?
Did you know that was a fictional person I was talking to?
Yeah, I kind of had a feeling. Yeah.
Well, it was. So. Pretty cool, huh?
It was great. It was very believable.
I'm not a car guy.
No?
No, I don't know.
I couldn't tell with that expert description of transmission linkages.
I get it. I understand where you come from there. From your perspective, I can understand that you're like, I'm a car guy. But I'm not. And listen, if it comes across my TikTok, somebody actually taking apart a transmission...
Mm.
I do usually watch it, like if they're having a GoPro on their heads or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah,
it's the same thing for me as like watching a professional cook with a GoPro on as well. What's his name?
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah,
he works at a diner or something and like just makes breakfast all morning.
That one, but also there's like a 3-star Michelin dude who does the same.
Shoot.
But we've talked about this a million times, right? Just people being competent is the best kind
it's
of
lovely.
Content for me personally. So like a person taking apart a transmission and then putting it back together in a way that like, they know what they're doing is unreal. And all the comments were like, that was $8,000 what that man just did very simply. And then everyone was like, too much money. It's too much money. And then the next comment is like, okay, do you know how to do it?
Clearly not. Yeah, yeah.
Do it. Try it. Because I was doing in my fun little fictional story I was doing back there when I was just like, throw it away. That's just what you would have to do if you did it.
Yeah, oh yeah, it would be thrown away 4 times over.
But yeah, we're going to talk about tires today. New show on Netflix, out last week. Renewed 2 days before it even aired. I mean, I think it's pretty clear. Netflix probably got this 6-episode, 2-hour-long, self-produced show for a pretty good deal. And they knew a lot of people were going to watch it. And that is what happened. But in that vein, talking about cars today, we had a race in Monaco this week.
Woo!
So it's time for Adam's F1 Corner.
Adam's F1 Corner. Real quick on tires before we get back into that. It was too short, man. Sure. We both watched it like so quickly.
Yeah, we watched it and we were texting like, "Hey, you watching this?" And then we were like, "Yeah."
Yeah,
and
it's
then
done.
I was like, "You done watching?" And you were like, "Yeah." And it could have just been a movie. In fact, it sort of just was a movie.
Yeah, it was
cut up into six pieces.
Which was
Again, it was self-produced, so the quality was lacking, but at the same time, it was pretty good.
It was pretty good. I liked it. Anyway, okay, so we'll get back into that in a sec. But
Adam's F1 Corner.
Adam's F1 Corner. All right, Ryan, I need you to buckle up, okay?
No.
The Monaco Grand Prix just happened. And just like every year of past, it is one of the most boring races on the calendar.
Sure.
Because it doesn't matter how the race goes, because however you qualify is typically how it finishes.
That's dumb. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, for sure.
Is the main reason that is because Monaco is a country, but it's also just kind of a small city of 32,000 people in the south part of France that's a tax haven, and there's just not enough room to expand the track? Or like,
No. So back in the days of old, the F1 cars used to be much, much smaller, narrower, and cars were able to go 2-3 wide around some of these turns in Monaco. Now you're lucky if you can get two full cars through some of these turns, and so no one risks it.
Why are they so big?
For the biscuit, because the regulations are all over the place, and there's a good amount of people that would like the regulations to be drawn back a little bit, make the cars a little bit smaller, a little bit more nimble, and you'll have Monaco races like they used to be in the 70s and 80s.
Listen, dude,
but
put all of these F1 drivers in go-karts for an entire season, bing, bang, boom, I'm watching.
Well, so that's funny that you say that, because people are saying, why don't they just make the Monaco Grand Prix a version of like how they used to race in karting, because a lot of these drivers used to start in karting as they were kids or growing up. And so like make that a homage to their roots and make the Monaco Grand Prix an actual karting race with like souped up go-karts with that they can actually pass and do cool maneuvers on. It won't ever happen. I'm just hoping for a regulation change where the cars end up being a little bit smaller, or they just remove it from the calendar altogether. But what happens when they try to overtake or any sort of dodging, juking moves are happening, there are huge accidents. And that happened this year as well. First lap, Perez, Magnussen, Hülkenberg, both Haas cars, one of the Red Bull cars, boom, huge crash right on the first lap, red flagged, pure chaos, insane carnage of these cars. They had to haul them out in pieces, wild. Everyone's fine, which is good, but they were done for the day. So that's what happens when you try to do anything around Monaco, is you just crash. So no one attempts it because these cars are millions and millions and millions of dollars.
That's so boring, dude.
It is. It was so boring. So the first 10 people that qualified 1 through 10, that's how they finished the race. It was the same. It was literally the same grid. It was so boring. And you can watch videos of the drivers where, you know, they're being interviewed about it. And they're like, yeah, nothing happened.
Like, yeah.
I mean, they're bored of it.
That Max Verstappen during the race over the radio was like, this is boring, checking in, this is boring.
Yeah, but also, he, you know.
Say what you will about NASCAR, my dude.
Yeah.
And that it's just you're turning left and it takes far less skill. It's a different skill, obviously.
It is a different skill.
At least they can pass each other at every race. Because
yeah, in every corner they can
tracks
pass.
are generally the same.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, yeah, there are some smaller tracks where some less driving actually happens. But I don't know. For me personally, in a race, I want to see like I want the best drive. And this is what I don't like about the pay to win strategy that F1 is at the moment as well, which is like, yeah, you can put the 10th best driver in the first best car and they will probably still win.
Yeah.
I would like it to be if you put the third best driver in the second best car or the first best driver in the second best car, they might win still because they're the best driver. And at the moment, that's not what happens because machines are just faster than other machines is what it is, baby.
Although this, you know, this year the playing field seems to be leveled a little bit. Yes, Max was very dominant the first couple races, but we have McLaren winning races. We have Ferrari winning races. I mean, Max is still on the podium for sure. He's absolutely one of the best drivers on the grid. But
yeah.
there seems to be an equal amount of skill and mechanical prowess being executed across these teams. But what I'll say about this Grand Prix, although it was very boring, something pretty amazing happened, and Charles Leclerc won his first Monaco Grand Prix. And for those who don't know what that means, is he's the first Monegasque-born driver to win the Monaco Grand Prix since the 30s, which is incredible. He had a streak of terrible, terrible bad luck here, crashing out DQ, or not DQ, DNF, did not finish, and it's terrible for him, and he finally won, and it was wonderful to see. I'm very happy with how the podium was this year, even though, I mean, Max was not on it, Red Bull wasn't on it, but I'm not like a huge, like, rah, 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 go Red Bull, Red Bull. I'm not a Red Bull super fan. I actually rather like McLaren a little bit better. I think their drivers are more fun. I think them fighting for the podium is more interesting. But Charles winning was huge and awesome, and I loved it.
Personally, I just like to see them fight with their fists.
Yeah, yeah, also, just punch each other.
Charles winning is chill. I mean, how do you not be romantic about baseball? You know what I mean? Like, it's just one of those moments that's pretty chill and cool. And to see, you know, winning, you grow up thinking to yourself, that's what I want to do, and that's where I want to do it. And then a dream comes true one day. I am loving. I'm out here loving when dreams come true. Huge into dreaming and coming true.
And this race has shaken up the grid a little bit. Max still in the lead for the Drivers' Championship. Red Bull still in the lead for the Team Drivers' Championships. But it has closed the gap significantly. And I'm just hoping that it can be competitive for the rest of the season. And we see McLarens and Ferraris and Aston Martins on the podium because it's so good. And honestly, my favorite driver is actually on Aston Martin. It's Fernando Alonso. But yeah.
You cray, dude.
I love him. Love him. He's the old man on the grid. He's the oldest driver.
He's the old man in the tree as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to push back on everything you just said. Sometimes Max's car breaks down and sometimes the track's not big enough for him to pass. But if it was not those two things, he would just win every week. So,
that's actually not true.
It's still the same. That's Adams at one corner.
Not true, man. it truly has been leveling out. He was not able to keep pace with some of the other cars on the track. Even though he can't pass, he wasn't even able to reach them, like keep up with them. Like, his car just is not good around certain corners with certain setups. It changes every race, so that's the interesting part about it. But that was Adam's F1 corner.
Yeah, I'm going to defer to you, Ovs, because you watch it.
Sure.
I was just being a devil's pal.
I appreciate you.
Yeah, because that's what podcasting's all about.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about tires, though, very quickly.
Yeah, for sure.
So last year, Shane Gillis comes out with a stand-up special entitled Beautiful Dogs.
Mm-hmm.
It, for my money, was the best stand-up special of the year.
You have mentioned this. I still haven't watched it yet. I'm going to watch it now that I've watched this show.
Right. It's incredibly subjective. Comedy that people like and the stuff that people like, all entertainment is obviously subjective, right?
Yeah.
I'm just saying that from a perspective of a person who has watched a lot of comedy specials, I liked it very much. It felt fresh and neat and good. And his delivery felt unique. It's good. So,
and I really like, you know, workplace comedies. And I know anytime anyone says workplace comedy, the first place people go is The Office, which, well, I mean, of course, The Office, Parks and Rec. But I actually like the kind of off-kilter ones. I can't remember what it was called, but it was about a supermarket, like a Walmart staff.
The original Office? You're talking about Superstore.
Superstore, yes. Like, I liked that store. I liked that show. I mean, there's others that I can't remember off the top of my head right now, but all these type of workplace.
Cheers, perhaps.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, the workplace comedy is the best. You know why? Because everybody does his work, and everybody's like, I don't even like it. And
yeah, everyone can relate. Like,
I wish that the thing I didn't like would be more entertaining, but on TV.
Yeah.
Okay, here's my thing, though. Again,
yeah.
Self-produced, second season, bought by Netflix 2 days before it aired. So obviously the second season's going to be longer and with better quality, and the people making it are going to be being paid to make it. So it's going to be their jobs to make it. While previously making this first season was probably like a part-time job for some people. although, you know, again, Shane Gillis had a very popular podcast happening. He still does. And also that special. So he had some money to invest into this, but now it's Netflix. So obviously different.
For sure.
And we're
Do you have any fears?
What's up?
Do you have any fears of About season two? Dude. Like that maybe the feel of it will be ruined? Like, is there anything that you're like nervous about? Like now that it was picked up by Netflix and now it has like a standard to uphold?
No, I think like there was one or two jokes in the show that like outside of the cursing, like even if it was on FX, not even FX, if it was on a network show, they'd be like, you can't do that joke. But all the jokes you could do on It's Always Sunny and get away with it on FX and like,
right.
No, I think they're going to have them lean in. And I also don't think like your question assumes that like Tires has an essence to it. And it, sure. I don't think it does. I think it has essences and vibes are different.
Okay.
I'm going to describe
description of both. Yeah.
The difference between essence and vibe. Vibes are like, and essences are like, okay, all right. So what I mean by that is that I don't think the world building here was like next level, right?
No,
I think they can expand anything. I think they could change most things and be like, yeah, that was different from the start, actually. And the audience would be like, all right, sounds good. But like, so no, I don't think it has anything to ruin, which is a knock on what it is. But at the same time, I'm trying not to be biased here because this is just like a comedian I like making a thing, which is all I want. I want the comedians and the actors I like to be able to make whatever they want, whatever they think is best, you know, as long as it's good.
Yeah.
And I thought it was, but it is just getting destroyed by reviews.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I didn't look at any reviews, but, you know, this is a very specific type of humor.
Let me get your vibes on this.
Yeah.
On these reviews. Tires breaks no ground, but I have to admit, being somewhat refreshed by a comedy that doesn't aspire to do much than make people laugh.
Yeah, for sure. I agree.
What a backhanded compliment, though.
For sure. But, like, it is. It doesn't take itself seriously at all. I mean, as most comedies they don't take themselves seriously usually, but like everything that was happening on screen, I was literally like laughing, and then I would say that was stupid,
right?
Like,
I think the main thing that it was missing was stakes, and you had one stake. You had
for
one that the main character might get fired by his dad, which sort of just ends up happening and then gets Uno reversed, but like. There was no stake episode to episode. They were all 22 minute long episodes, which is how long TV shows usually are, unless they're an hour long, but they have commercials interspersed. And when they don't have commercials interspersed, they feel like short films you just watch. So
yeah,
it feels just very, very short. I don't know. My point is, if you like comedies,
yeah,
if you like, not even slapstick. If you just like, I don't know, gross. What's a better way to describe this, Adam? It's just gross humor? What is it?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely like foul mouth potty humor. But
nice.
But like they said, it is refreshing. We haven't gotten something like this in quite some time. Everyone plays it safe. This did not feel like it was playing it safe at all. And the one thing I did notice about it was some of the relation, and this is going a little bit more deeper than it just being a comedy, but like Shane and Will, their relationship, they're cousins in the show, but the stakes that Will has for this tire shop to succeed and Shane just completely derailing it every time, you would think that Will wouldn't fold as easily as he does. Like, there were times that I was watching this, I'm like, why is he doing that? Like, he's clearly like laughing, not taking this seriously. And like, put in that situation, you would think he would be a little bit more trying to be serious, and then Shane trying to counter it even more. But they ended up just like kind of meeting at the same level, if that makes sense.
They just kind of leaned into shtick rather than built
for sure.
characters. And
there was Will no building.
Will didn't stick up for himself enough, and Shane didn't see the error of his ways enough, or he wasn't embarrassed by his actions rather than jazzed about them enough times, which is the same thing as stakes. It's the same thing as world building. It's just a bunch of stuff that you don't get when you make a show that is 6 episodes long and 2 hours and 4 minutes total. Like, and the fact that somebody watched it, and like, I think the context does matter. Of course, people aren't going to know when they turn this on. They're going to know that there's only 6 episodes, which is not common these days. But they're also, they're not going to be aware that it was self-produced.
I didn't know that until he said it.
Right. Did you have an inkling when watching it or no?
So I had, I mean, obviously I saw that Shane Gillis was like part of it, very wholly part of the show. I think he was an executive producer and creator and all that stuff. So like, I saw his name everywhere. So I'm like, oh, he had a huge thing to do this, but I didn't know that it was totally on him. I mean, it launched on Netflix. So I'm like, oh, this is a Netflix original show. Like, that's who's doing it. But apparently that they just purchased it, right? And so, yeah, I mean, I didn't have an inkling it was self-published. But it's interesting that it is. But, you know, I don't know.
Do you have a favorite stand-up special of all time?
A favorite stand-up special of all time?
And by the way, while you're thinking about this.
Yeah.
I've been watching Hacks. It's so good. It's about stand-up comedy, which is why I bring it up.
I started watching Hacks, and then Hannah just kept watching it, so now I have to catch up.
Been there, buddy. Been there. Did you ever finish Severance?
So I've actually watched a couple episodes today.
Okay. Oh, yeah. My boy's on vacation.
Yeah. Let's go. So I'm thinking of this. I think in recent years, one of my favorite comedies was the Bo Burnham Make Happy special.
Sure.
Because it was excellent, funny. He's so good at what he does, and deep enough that it makes you think. I mean, clearly before Inside. So I think that was one of my favorite ones. I also liked The Old Man in the Pool, Mike Birbiglia, when I watched that one.
Oh, yeah. I just looked up, like, best stand-up special. What's everyone's favorite one? The top comment is Michael Richards live at the Laugh Factory. That's messed up.
Well, I was going to say, there's an old, and I think it was in the 90s, old 90s special. It was John Leguizamo Freak. And I remember watching that when I was younger. Definitely should not have been watching that.
Sure.
That special for sure when I was that young. But I remember watching it. My parents are very into like comedy specials and watching like the HBO live stuff. And I just remember jokes from that sticks out in my mind as like a famous one. But yeah, I think Bo Burnham and then Mike Birbiglia are like the two that I hold in higher regard in recent memory.
You know, it's weird. Like, I think my favorite specials are like Patrice O'Neill, Elephant in the Room, Zach Galifianakis, Live at the Purple Onion, Inside Out, or Inside Out, the Pixar, the special.
Yeah, yeah. it was a great special.
But also, most of them are just like Comedy Central Presents of Mitch Hedberg, of Nick Swartzen.
Oh my God, wait right there. I totally forgot about the Mitch Hedberg one.
Yeah.
That is so... Oh, and I love like the old Brian Regan ones. Oh my God. My buddy Mitch and I just, we would watch that and just cry laugh at some of the stuff. Yeah, I took, again, that was a quick decision. I still stand by my decision, but there's some good ones in there.
Other ones. James Acaster, Cold Lasagna, Hate Myself. I'm going to say Beautiful Dogs by Shane Gillis is like really up there.
I got to watch
it. John Mulaney, New in Town. Oh, gosh. Whiskey Icarus by Kyle Kinane.
We saw Louis C.K. live and you know, pre him getting banned, I guess.
Yeah, we know. Everyone knows what you're talking about.
And Ralphie Mae, you know, we saw him live as well. And his specials were excellent, really great, very quotable.
And the thing is, you know what I remember the most? I love all those specials. I think Shane Gillis is up there. I think it's honest. It was so good that it's on my Mount Rushmore of specials.
Okay.
And the joke I remember most from a stand-up special is
Cooper
the muffin joke from Kevin James's Sweat the Small Stuff.
Oh.
The muffins are beanbags.
I still quote that Ralphie May one. I go, Cooper dabbing in the ocean.
Yeah.
That's the one. I mean, I use it so frequently because we live on the shoreline. So
it's a good point. By the way, was watching a GeoGuessr video. This is going to be really stupid.
Sure.
I mean, everyone's turned this off already. It was fine. But like, we've been watching a GeoGuessr video, and a guy was choosing a thing, and it came up, and I was like, I know that place.
Uh-oh, I'm not going to say you got it right.
It's the place we live.
Oh, really?
It was next level. I was like, what? I don't know. Anyway, if you want to be able to look at a picture of the Earth and be like, I know exactly where that is, all you have to do is go to patreon.com/HBOBOYZ. You're joining a Patreon in that moment. It's $1 a month. You get these earlier ad-free, private, you know, all this stuff. And Adam says your name, which is going to be like right now.
Yeah, and just to clarify, we don't actually do GeoGuessr videos, but Ryan, if you want to post that on Discord, I would love to see that one.
I'm not very good at that one? Yeah, I got
Yeah. Send me that one. All right.
Not
so
the one
we'd
of
like
me
to,
doing it?
No, you know what? Send that one too.
All right.
We'd like to thank Sunshine Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, Adam Donging Ryan, Chris Wood, Brent Ginn, Craig, John Jewers, Major Woody, Butter Nichols, Susan, Buffalo Pizzle, C. Fritz, and Filet Mignon Number One. Thank you for subscribing and, you know, paying us for stuff. And also thank you, Sunshine and Brent Ginn, for being our $5 a month tier patrons. Thank you for the extra donation. Very appreciated. Please follow us on all of our socials at the HBO Boys or at the HBO Boys Pod, Threads, Instagram, TikTok, all that good stuff. Like, comment, subscribe, interact with us. If I put a poll, answer the poll. That'll be fun.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, if you want, you should.
Yeah, so like aspect ratio, okay?
16:9.
Balance ball joint and brake bias. I know cars. Listen, if my car has been doing this thing where sometimes when I accelerate like and I try to get above 80 because I'm cool and I drive so fast because everyone who's cool does that, it like loses pressure.
Oh, no, it's good.
It's like, I don't want to actually keep doing what you're trying to make me do. And I'm like, gosh, that's probably bad. I should call someone about it. And I just, you know, haven't.
You should do that.
Oh, why?
Well, so you and I have the same model car, different years. But yeah. I have this, in the cold, I have this like rattle noise when I drive and it gets faster as you speed up. So I'm like, oh, it must be something with like the drive shaft or something like that. I looked it up. Some guy has the same problem online and it, Audi doesn't allow, we both have Audis. Audi does not allow the part to be replaced that is making the noise. You have to replace the whole GD drive shaft and it costs so much money, Ryan. So if you ever hear this noise, it's like a whistling.
You know what? Don't tell me. Do not tell me this noise. Doesn't matter whether it's happening to me.
It's so annoying.
Even if it's not happening to me, I'm going to hear it. Right.
But it is insane to fix how they have you fix this car. And that's what I'm dealing with right now. So do I pull the trigger on that service or do I buy a new car?
New car.
New car. Vote in the Discord and maybe I'll do what you say.
That'd be chill. Thank you very much for listening. We very much appreciate it. Go into your weeks and have good ones, you know, or like whatever.
Yeah, whatever you said.
Okay, bye.